all along Minnesota's North Shore, if someone says, "I'm going to the island," the destination is never in question. For the people that live on Lake Superior, the island can only be Isle Royale. The ties to the remote island encompass generations of Lake Superior visitors and reach far beyond the North Shore. Many of the people with a connection to the island belong to the Isle Royale Families and Friends Association. The mission of the group is twofold: to preserve the history of the hardy fishermen, miners, and resort owners and their families who once made Isle Royale home, and to clarify their status in what is now a national park. When the island became a national park in 1940, life on the island changed for many. Different families negotiated different types of lease agreements, and the status of some Isle Royale families in the park is still in limbo. What is not in question are the strong ties that Isle Royale families have to the island and the poignant memories of time spent there. At a meeting of the Isle Royale Families and Friends Association, members talked about life on the island. Here's Lou Mattson, who explained that his parents first came to Tobin's Harbor in the 1890s to raise a large family.
And they had five kids, and the Andersons who lived next door had five kids. You know, it's the Tobin's Harbor water, you could have five kids.
Lou remembers learning the fishing trade early.
When the elder original immigrants retired, but then some of their children took over. In our case, actually in my family, it was logical, there were only two boys. So the two boys, my father, Art, and his brother, Ed, they continued the fishery. During the years that my grandfather was there, and Andrew Henderson, there were a lot of other sweet fins there.
At Tobin's Harbor,
okay. Yes. The other ones all slowly left the island. So it was mainly the Mattson family and the Anderson family left. One of the Anderson sons continued the fishery. He left in about 1940, and my father's brother, Ed, left about 1940. So that it was the Art Mattson fishery.
And Art was your dad?
Art was my dad. Okay. You know, like any kid who grows up in a family operation, as soon as you're old enough to become useful, you become part of it. So I continued to fish, I guess through about half of my college years, until I began working in my chosen profession, which was geology.
Not fishing.
Well, you know, actually fishing had still been good. I probably would have been a fisherman. I probably would have stayed on. Yeah.
Okay, so you remember fishing. Were there fun times too? Was it all work?
Oh, no. Grant was about the same age. Yeah.
So you and Grant Merritt were friends?
He was in the harbor. So we obviously did some fun things. Maybe some things that weren't quite so legal as far as the park was concerned. But we did some fun things.
He did kind of mention some things that he couldn't say. Yes. Okay, you won't share those things.
No.
Okay. But so what was a typical day of fishing like?
It started early. You looked out to see what the weather was. It was a day that you thought you were going to be on the lake or not. Some days was good in the morning. Some days wasn't so good when you came home. But we set nets out around Passage Island and Gull Rock. And also, while I was younger, we had a larger boat and fished Siskiwits out south of the island, 10 or 12 miles south of the island. The water gets relatively shallower.
So were there any bad weather incidents?
Sure.
But yeah. You're still here.
I'm still here.
That's good. When people were sharing stories, I heard something about your mom rowing backwards.
Yeah, she would often row backwards. If she's just going, say to one of the other cabins in the harbor, if you row forward, you can't see where you're going.
Okay. I heard she was a very good baker.
Yes. Yeah, very good. What she baked for lots of people in the harbor. The family were sort of the harbor handy men, and they, would clean the cabins before people came, and clean them when they sort of close them when they left, and
How did people get supplies? How did you get the flour and things? Did you have to bring it all?
You bring it all out.
At the beginning of the year?
Well, things that would keep the fabric bring out at the beginning of the year. And for quite a few years, we had chickens and had a large garden up on the hill behind the house. Well, I suppose back in the 1890s or maybe before then even. But they scraped the earth, what soil there was, you know, scraped it into patches, and that's where they would plant their vegetables. I think, you know, it would grow pretty well up there.
So did the Matsons still garden?
No. Yeah. In fact, the garden plots are all grown up with trees about so big around. The only thing that's still there, as a kid, I had planted that apple tree from apple seeds, and it grew. But moose really like apples. So all that's left of it now is the part that's covered by snow in the winter. So there's these branches going out along the ground that they're just sort of chewed, sticking up out of there. That's all that's left. But it, you know, they would bring out as much as possible with them when they came out in the spring. The cases of eggs, that's when eggs kept longer. All you had to do was, I think once a week, you go down and turn the whole case over so the yolks wouldn't get against the shell. And big slabs of bacon, hay.
Were there times when you, would you put up ice too? Everybody does that when that's...
Well, an awful lot of fishermen did. Yeah, they would, in the spring, I'd be out there up until about the fourth grade. I would go out, the whole family would go out. You'd go out in April. Some years there'd be ice in the harbor, actually, that you could cut. But most of the time we'd go around to the north side of Lake's Point. And it's piled up on the rocks, and chip it off, and put it in a nice house. So anyway, and the things that were perishable, like milk, if you wanted milk, that's where the voyage came in.
So that's Roy Olberg on the Voyageur.
On the Voyageur.
Well, and before the Voyageur, there were other boats.
Yeah, other boats before.
Do you recall the other boats?
I especially remember the Winya. I'm old, but the America sank before I was around. yes, I do recall the Winya very, very, very clearly. I was absolutely fascinated by the steam engine. You could spend hours, I at least spent hours, looking down at all that polished brass going up and down. And I could close my eyes and I could see that. Yeah, we went right out on the wind, from Duluth. And then when that stopped running, well, then the Detroit, both of those operated by Christensen's. And then when the Detroit stopped, well, then Severson took over the boats.
And there was a boat named the Disturbance.
The Disturbance.
Was that a passenger or was that fishing?
My wife's first trip to the island was, I think it was like 56 or 57. So I mean, we were just going out over the 4th of July. So we were on the Disturbance. And your grandfather?
My grandfather, Captain Roy Olberg.
Yeah. And Merle Otto giggled the whole way out with this city girl I was bringing out. So anyway, we got there. And the next thing, it started to rain. It was really windy. It was a good storm. And the Disturbance didn't come on schedule. So we, finally, they came. Now he said, "We're going, come on." So we got our stuff and we went down. Going down the south side, it was still really big waves. And the old Disturbance was getting pretty old. And I remember sitting in the back and you could watch the planks move back and forth every time he'd clobber a good wave, you know. And then we got to Washington Harbor and Roy looked across at the thunderclouds across the way and said, "No, we're going to stay here tonight." So all the guys slept on the boat. Peg slept in a bed that Clara Seifert had with, was it three other girls? Three other girls she's never seen before. And even after all that, she kept coming back.
And now she's in Isle Royale.
Good.
Lots of good memories.
Lots of good memories. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Are you worried about what's going to happen with this cultural resources?
Sure. Yes, definitely. We've maintained the cabin. I've tried to go out every year and spend most of your time putting it back together. And the people are definitely part of the story of the island. I don't know how often we run into people while we're out there. at some dock someplace, or down to the old light or Passage Island. And they're just really interested in who we are and why we're there. And as somebody else said today, you know, they're really interested in the buildings. What are all these buildings? You know, who was there, or why were they there? And so I think it's something that really needs to be retained. The island to me is still home. Even though we live in a very nice house on a nice lake, you know, up in northern Minnesota. If I dream of someplace, I dream of Thomas Harbor. Yes, it's home.
This feature is part of a series of stories on the historic connection between Lake Superior's North Shore communities and Isle Royale. The series is supported by WTIP and the State of Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.